invite God's Spirit to be with us again as we gather around His Word. Dear Father, may our hearts be open again, and may Thy Spirit do His mysterious but wonderful work in our hearts, exalting Jesus, drawing us closer to Him, changing us to be like Him. We pray in His name. Amen. I want to play a little game with you here at the beginning of our study together today. I'm going to ask a question that I want you to think carefully about, and hopefully there will be a brave response or two before we move on. The question I have in my mind is simply this. If you could, in one word, describe what it means to experience agony, what word would you choose? If you could, in one word, describe what it means to experience agony, what word would you choose? Anybody have a thought? What's that? Loneliness. Okay. Back there in the back.
Moaning.
Okay. Yes.
No.
Love. Okay. What was that?
Death.
Okay, and you've just lost a loved one, Francis, haven't you? Yes, that is agony, isn't it? Our passage brings a slightly different word than the ones that we've looked at. How about the word race? R-A-C-E. You know, men and women competing against one another in a marathon, or even worse yet, the triathlon. You know, the sweaty bodies and the cottony tongues and the aching legs and the pounding of joints and feet and the burning side in your chest. How about that? Most of us, you know, don't jog or run, do we? Most of us don't spend time in long distance runs. And those of us that do, we don't do it because of it's fun or it's exercise. It's agony, isn't it? I mean, midway in a race and really towards the end, the body begins screaming out and saying, hey, I want to quit. You've experienced that in a run, haven't you? The body screams out and says, I want to quit. And sometimes the urge becomes so intense, it's like a fiery, burning sensation inside. And agony is the only word that you can use to describe a race. Did you know that the Greek word translated race here in our passage is agon, agonos, from which we get our word agony? Evidently, the Greek people had seen enough of the sheer burning pain that was present and that marked the races of the day, and all the determination and the endurance that was needed in order to complete a race. And they'd seen many enthusiastic runners begin only to burn out and fall by the wayside with mouths dry and wrenching in pain. That if you asked them what a race was, they would say agonos, agonia, agony. It was nothing short of agony. Because a race isn't a passing pleasure. A race is something that's demanding, it's sometimes grueling and agonizing, and it calls for the utmost in our self-discipline and a gritty determination. A race, you know, calls for an uncompromising perseverance, doesn't it? When I look at our passage of Scripture today, I see God's Word saying, there is agony for the Christian. Our passage says that there is a race that is set before us, a course that is marked out for us to run, and it is called agonos. And because it is called agonos, the end of verse 1 says that we must run this agonos with endurance, right? The whole picture of this passage is one where there is the ongoing temptation, ever-present temptation, to grow weary and let go, to quit. And the reason why one is growing weary and wanting to let go and quit is because the race, the course, is agonous. It's has some pain, it has some pressure in it. We're talking now about spiritual things, aren't we? This word agon can refer to any experience in life that you and I might experience that has with it pressure and hardship and trials to the place where we are tempted to let go and to quit. This I've had enough now, so let's just quit mentality touches every aspect of our lives. You know, dieting is a discipline, so we stay overweight. Writing a book is a real chore, so we stop before it's over. Staying with a job takes energy and it's tough, so we move and we look someplace else. Struggling with conflicts in a marriage is a tiring struggle, and so we walk away. Building meaningful personal relationships is often painful, and so we back off, right? So we can go down the list many areas of our life where there is the pressure to let go, the pressure to walk away because there's some agony, whether it's emotional or spiritual or psychological or painful or, you know, physiological. And our passage of Scripture is telling us here today that this temptation, this desire to let go and to become tired happens in the area of spiritual things too. Many of us have started out enthusiastically moving towards a certain goal only to change then to feelings of disillusionment and quitting, right? It happens with spiritual things. All of God's people in every age have had difficulty staying in the race. In fact, when these words were first written in the first century, these words were written to a group of Christians, men and women, believers in Jesus Christ, who had started out well, were excited about their faith in Jesus Christ, but soon lost the intensity of their purpose. They became sluggish in their journey. There was sin that was now tangling their feet. There was fear. There was a sense of apathy because of the trials, the pressures, what it meant to continue in the agonus. And as I lay awake during the holiday, I thought about us. I thought about you. I wished I had had the time to bring every one of you up in my mind. I thought about the new year that we are in. And I thought about the things that this new year would bring to your heart, to your family, to us together as a church. I couldn't help but to say to myself, we are 1 year closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And my heart rejoiced in that thought. But as I pondered this year, my mind kept coming to this passage of Scripture. My mind kept coming here. And there came an aching feeling in my heart that was telling me that this year, 1988, will bring with it more than any other year that we've experienced. This year will bring with it experiences that will tempt us to let go and to quit, to slow down and to leave off our journey of faith to the kingdom of God. For some of us, that pressure to let go will come because we experience some affluence. We've arrived at that point in our life where we are no longer just making ends meet, but now we're able to stockpile some things and enjoy some of the good things of life. For others, that pressure will come because it's the first time in their life that they are not able to make ends meet. Some of us will feel that pressure to let go because there is a hidden sin that is tightening its grip on our lives. For others, it will come because a relationship is being nurtured with an unbeliever. Those feelings to let go will come for some, perhaps when they look upon the lifeless form of a loved one. It will come because words of anger, thoughtless words of anger, were spoken to them. Or because of unresolved theological questions, or concerns about lifestyle standards that the church seeks to uplift and uphold. That pressure can be felt or will be felt because of over-involvement on church committees and church programs or things that church leadership might seek to implement. It may come because there is no personal relationship with a caring Christian to help through a period of sorrow. Or it might come because of the collapse of a marriage. The kind of things that are here in this year for us. And all of us will have those weights, those encumbrances, those things according to the passage that may be all right in themselves, a hobby or our job or our recreational time, things that will squeeze out spiritual ideas because we've let them become a priority. And for every one of us, there will be those vulnerable points where the enemy seeks where the enemy seems to have continued access to our lives, the besetting sins, as our passage refers to. We have embarked into a year that will be filled or will include pain and difficulty and sorrow and suffering, brothers and sisters. We have stepped into another year that will be filled with pressure and hardship and even death. And we can add to that our own weaknesses, our own habit patterns that have been developed, our own personal idiosyncrasies, our weaknesses. We can add to that conflicts with others. We can add to that a world that we live in that is bent against God and a host of satanic agencies intent upon our quitting, intent upon our feeling the pain and letting go. And that's why this passage of Scripture is meaningful to my heart this morning. Because I hear in these words the key words of verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. It's a call to endurance, and endurance is a steadfastness amid the pain and the pressure and the temptations to let go and find an easier way. Endurance is the ability to hang tough when the world around us is tough and our life is tough. These words are a call to my heart, to a commitment. The whole book of Hebrews is a call to commitment to Jesus Christ, to the race that has been marked out for us. To intensify our purpose, to strengthen the intensity of our commitments and why we are what we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Seventh-day Adventist Christians preparing for the return of Jesus Christ and spreading the good news of Christ's soon return. The call to my heart is to remain in that race. That's marked out by the Word of God. That's marked out by the examples of the men and women of faith that are listed in Scripture, that are marked out by the footsteps of Jesus Christ Himself. The race that you and I are called to endure has to do with the cause of Jesus Christ, and it touches destiny. It reaches into eternity. The question that comes to my mind is, how does one endure the agonas that is inherent in the Christian movement towards the kingdom? How do we resist the temptation The ever-present temptation to let go and quit. And how do we hang in when everything in us says, slow down, forget it? When I was in academy and in college, I spent hours each week on a gymnastic team. I worked on the high bar, you know, that's that one big bar that's out of your reach. You got to jump up for it. It flexes and you kind of twirl around. And I worked on the parallel bars and then building or balancing and building blocks with one arm levers and handstands. During this period, really the only period of my life where I was involved in athletics, I learned some things about pain and agony and feelings of fatigue and the inner cry of the body to let go. I learned during this period of time that relating to this inner cry to let go has something to do with what is deep down in one's heart and in one's mind. You see, it's agony when the high bar tears the skin off the palms of your hand. It's agony when your stomach aches for several days because you're trying a new movement on the P-bars. It's agony when your joints lurch with pain because you're not quite limber enough to do something. And it's fatiguing, it's tired to get up every morning before dawn to practice 2 hours before breakfast. So what is it that enables you to hang in there? What enables you to hold on even though your body is saying, be sane, lay in bed like anybody else? The answer is the word passion. There is a passion of sorts for athletes. A passion that is stronger than and dominates the feelings of pain and fatigue that build up in the mind. Athletes understand that the challenge before them includes a mental conditioning as well as the physical conditioning and the development of sheer brute strength. And so they cultivate a passion where they ask themselves about fatigue and what's going on, where it's coming from and why they feel the way they do and why they want to keep on and what's happening in their lives. And it's as that passion is cultivated, that's the only thing that keeps them going, and that's what leads them to excel in a race or some competition. That inner voice, that passion inside that dominates and neutralizes the pain and all the agony and the pressure of it all. And when the passion is not cultivated, fatigue sets in. Fatigue is the enemy of that passion. And for you and I as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, that passion is found in, is created and nurtured by what it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Word of God is telling us that the Christian experience inherently includes agony, pressure, trial. But the Word of God also tells us that there can be a passion that can override whatever is taking place in our life, a passion that will enable us to endure the race. And that passion is tied to how we look into the face of Jesus Christ and how we relate to what we see. That passion finds its focus in Jesus Christ. That passion finds its center in Jesus Christ. That passion finds its nurturing blood in Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking this morning about the power of positive thinking where we, in some way through human energy, control what's going on in our minds. I am not talking about anything at all that smacks of what we are able to do of ourselves. We've got this pain, so that if I just think good enough and have the right kind of passion, I will overcome. I'm talking to us about this morning is a gift from God. A gift that comes when we have raised our eyes to Jesus Christ. Our verse tells us that Jesus is the author and He is the finisher of what? Of faith. This passion that I'm talking about is faith in Jesus Christ. This passion that I'm talking about includes the love that faith builds in our hearts for Jesus Christ. And it is a gift. Turn with me to Romans 10, verse 17. Hold your place here in Hebrews 12. But we must understand in Romans 10, verse 17, a very precious principle of Scripture. Romans 10, verse 17. It tells us here, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, my translation says. And in the margin, my translation says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ. And other translations will say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of Jesus Christ. The word of God is telling us here that faith is not something that we whip out and say, okay, we're going to use it. But faith is the result of things being related to our minds and our hearts concerning Jesus Christ. Our looking unto Jesus Christ creates the atmosphere in our minds and our hearts where the Spirit of the living God can create and nurture a living faith in our hearts. Faith is a gift. And if we are to endure the race that is before us, that passion needs to burn in our breast. And what is exciting to me is how our passage of Scripture focuses our mind on the Word concerning Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says that He's the author and the perfecter of this faith, this passion, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. This is the only time in the book of Hebrews where the word cross occurs. Many times in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the shedding of blood, the giving of life, the sacrifice, the atonement. But this is the only place where the cross is referred to. And when you tie to it the word endured, the picture that comes forth here is for us to understand that we must grasp the whole passion narrative of Jesus Christ. It's as if the author is telling us that what nerves us to endure, what it takes to live out our faith here on this earth, it's a glimpse of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, the crucified one, the one who has died for our sins. We must remind ourselves that Scripture is holding Jesus up more than a model. Jesus does more than inspire us. We're not talking about moral influence here. I believe the Word of God is reminding us that Jesus Christ is the enabling cause of our victory. He is the promise of our victory. It is His once for all sacrifice that gives us access to God and forgiveness of sin. It is His shed blood that cleanses our guilty stains. And it's His obedience that forms the parameters in which salvation is received and becomes real in our lives. It is Christ's strong crying tears in Hebrews 5 that makes Him the source, enabled Him to be the source of our salvation. It's because He has suffered and cried and died that He is able to be our merciful and faithful High Priest through whom we have access to that throne of grace where we can find strength to endure. The Word of God is telling us that Jesus Christ is the great example, but He's the source, He's the strength, He's the cause. He's the overwhelming influence that stirs our souls was a holy passion to reach out to Him and run with endurance. It's at it's the crucified and risen one. It's when we look upon Him that we hear the call to enter the race to begin with. It's when we look upon the endurance at the cross and the open windows of heaven that we are nerved to take those first steps in His cause. It's when we look at that old rugged cross and understand Him as our high priest in the courts of heaven that we are strengthened to endure whatever comes. And brothers and sisters, what causes us? What creates that burning desire in our hearts to let go everything and anything that would hinder us, including the sins that caused His death? But a glimpse of Him. A glimpse of Him. So our passage of Scripture is telling my heart today, telling us, that when the storms of life come and the pressure of the race that is set before us is felt and we are being tempted to quit and give up, or to lift our eyes and focus them upon Jesus Christ. There at the sufferings of Gethsemane and Calvary, our own pain is seen in a different way. And when we look up into the calm face of the supreme sufferer, we will find strength and something within us, a gift of God to endure. And as Chrysostom, the ancient historian, church father said, if Jesus, who was crucified unnecessarily, indeed was crucified, in other words, He didn't have to be crucified, if indeed He was crucified and didn't have to be, how much more then should we be willing to endure whatever comes? And Paul says, that love of Christ, the love beaming from the cross of Jesus Christ, envelops us and is like a grasping hand upon our hearts where we are gripped. But we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who lived and died for us. What can I say more? Except our greatest need is to lift our eyes to Jesus Christ. And the writer to Hebrews tells us something very important. He uses a very important Greek word when he says, looking onto Jesus. The word means looking away from onto, which is, it implies that we have had our gaze elsewhere. And he is saying that we need to look away from ourselves. We need to look away from our failures. We need to look away from our works and our obedience. We need to look away from our obstacles and our trials. And we need to look away from our brothers and sisters who are running alongside of us. And we need to look to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because that's where the passion is fueled. Where Christ becomes the passion that fuels the passion to endure. And to be faithful. And to be committed. Until He returns. I believe that Jesus is coming again, don't you? And I believe that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. For you in your personal life. For you in your home. For us in this church. But His ability to work dramatically in our lives is tied to our upward glance of Him. And that is our greatest need. And that's what the Word of God appeals to our hearts to experience today. And as we look up, we will find the face of Jesus looking back, and we will find our lives different.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.